Two guys, two topics, two opinions.
Two.
You talk, give me two.
This is the split story of the day on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Donovan swings to Bogdanovich. Good look, angle left, three, perfect. Bogey's got 31. And all of a sudden, this is an 11-point game. Rudy comes for an open side pick and roll. Donovan rises into a mid-range jumper and got it. 33 for Donovan Mitchell. 7-point game, 2:13 to play. Donovan driving into the lane, snakes it around the outside. Comes back to the corner, fires the three. Got it! 119-115. Free throws by Neto are good. Donovan with 40, goes coast to coast with minimal resistance. Lays it up and in, will finish with 42. It's quite a scoring run by Donovan Mitchell over the last four games. But this loss changes the complex of the Western Conference ever so slightly.
I think the biggest thing for us is just coming out the gate with the mindset. I can't say we had that throughout the whole game. We got there, you know, but, you know, we can't, when you have two, you know, elite guards attacking the way they do and getting shots the way they do, we got to all be connected and all be locked in and can't just rely on just Royce or just Rudy or whatever. We all got to be focused in, whether it's getting back in transition, stunning at the ball. And I think that has to be our focus from the jump.
All right, Donovan Mitchell continued his run of scoring a bunch of points. But the Jazz lose, Gordon. The first loss at home since New Year's Eve. They lose to the Wizards, 125-121. Donovan, as you heard David say, had 42, Bogdanovich with 33. But the issue, Gordon, as has often been in their losses, as few as they are this year, was certainly defense. And it was a problem against the Wizards in matchup number one a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, it was. So you used the word matchup there. Do you think this is a matchup problem? I mean, because obviously the Wizards are not as good as the Jazz against the rest of the league. But when these two teams play, the Jazz seem to suffer. Certainly they did defensively.
I've been debating that, Gordon, in my mind, because that's kind of something the natural comes up. Like, are the Wizards just a bad matchup, or was it something, you know, something else, something more random? And I don't know if I've come to a conclusion. Although I will say that the Jazz team we watched last night was they're tired, Gordon. And I know people go, well, no excuses. The other team has to do it too. That's what Quinn Snyder said last night, and that's all right. I got it. But we're talking about the Jazz, not the Wizards. And that Jazz team was out of gas. I mean, we're seeing Royce O'Neal, who's not going to play tonight because of rest. And he was noticeably not 100% at, like, the beginning of the game. And so there's a player that you count on the most on the whole team to slow down the other team's best player or best players. And, you know, that went against the Jazz. The fact that they were so shorthanded really hurt them, because in games, and Locke laid this out really, really well, but in games where they're just smoking these teams, Gordon, it's because their third quarters, for example, are so good because the starters do what the starters do, and then when the rotational players come in and the other team has a fall off, the Jazz are just smacking around the other teams in those minutes, right?
Yeah.
And last night, that's not the case, because you're not bringing in Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson. You're bringing in Mie Ioane and Trent Forrest.
Well, one thing is for certain, and this is your point. Last night, the Wizards bench absolutely destroyed the Jazz bench.
The worst output by the Jazz bench this whole season, Gordon. But that's not a surprise, right?
Yeah, because that bench had been altered. I guess if we're looking for reasons, well, that was certainly one. And then the other one, because ordinarily you think, okay, with the Wizards, tremendous guard line, explosive guard line, and they get 59 last night combined on the Jazz. So the Jazz couldn't stop those guys, but they couldn't stop the bench players either. I mean, this was a thorough beatdown. And I agree with you on the fatigue factor, but then how do you explain the Jazz mounting the comeback that they did?
So part of it, and let me give you a stat that Tyson gave us last night, all right? And okay. I'm going to ask you a question that has a very complex answer, but I'm looking for a simple one, okay? So it's not the only answer, but I'm looking for a simple answer here. Okay. Utah's first quarter and the final 8 minutes of the fourth They were a combined 25 of 41 for 61% and outscored Washington 73-49. In the 28 minutes in between, they were just 16 of 44, 36%, and were outscored 76-48. So diagnosing that, I think, is the combination of a bunch of different things. But can you think of maybe one of the most simple explanations, or part of the explanation could be?
Donovan Mitchell was feeling it.
The part of it, not exactly what I'm looking for, but yeah, part of it. And him being cold in the middle there didn't help. So I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay, so what are you looking for?
Their guys were on the floor and playing hard. Their best players were on the floor at the beginning of the game and playing hard. Their best players were on the floor at the end of the fourth quarter and playing hard.
Okay.
And so when they're filling in and trying to, you know, have two starters on the floor at one point or three or whatever, and they're going back and forth, you know, they just couldn't find it. But when their guys were out there playing together and playing hard, because I do think they wanted to get off to a good start and see if they could run away. And in the fourth, they tried to win the game. They did. Uh-huh. And they came up short. So that's my oversimplified explanation. Certainly Donovan and his game, which was a really weird one to get to 42 because he missed, you know, like 10 shots in a row there in the middle, which is very strange. So, of course, I'm with you. That certainly had something to do with it. But I think when they went to their other guys, they just didn't have the firepower.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that the point you just made was obvious to anybody who watched the game. And I, you know, it's not an encouraging sign for those guys who are a little farther down the bench.
No, but did we really, I mean, these guys are further down on the bench because, well, let me put it this way. You know, if they were better than 9th, 10th, 11th player on an NBA rotation, they'd be 4, 5, or 6 somewhere else. For the most part. You know what I mean? And so any team that's going to go this deep onto their bench, they're going to have some issues because the league just isn't that deep where you have 10 guys that you can go to and not feel any pinch, you know?
Well, the Jazz aren't the only team that has suffered in this way.
Sure, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, as that game was ending, I went and I checked other teams, and I didn't actually make a count, but I looked at some of the better teams in the league that had lost to lesser teams, and I was pretty surprised at how, I mean, it's not on the reg, but it happens more often than you think.
Especially this year.
A lot of Jazz fans looking at the Wizards and thinking, okay, how in the world did the Jazz lose to this team twice? And this is a part of the overall process. Although I do think there's a bit of a matchup problem here. You and I have talked a lot about Jazz perimeter defenders, and I think they have a hard time with those two guys. I mean, and for good reason. They're great, good players, especially Beal. But, I mean, we're talking about guys who are very difficult to defend, and I don't think that's a strength of the Utah Jazz. You've brought it up often that guys like Mike Conley, who didn't play, but Donovan Mitchell, you put them up against guys who are bigger than they are, then that can be a bit of a challenge. And, so that maybe if the Jazz get matched up against somebody in the playoffs who has bigger guards who can really score, then that might be a problem for them. But that was clearly evident last night. But the second I want to circle that and mark it, then I start looking at Gafford scoring, what do you have, 15 points? Robin Lopez scoring a bunch of, I mean, doing some positive things for the team. And so, you can spread this blame around in a lot of different places. But I think your original point, Jake, is a sound one, that the Jazz just didn't have enough weaponry to withstand that particular matchup on what this was, the fourth game in 6 nights.
Yes, and right? So Can 5 and 7 right? Coming tonight.
I learned yesterday not to do my
let's not bring that up.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to find the tweet and I can't, Gordon. I can go in and get the exact numbers. But the Wizards are randomly good against good teams. They beat Brooklyn twice. They've beat the Clippers, I think, twice. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but You know, this Washington team, this is, you know, speaking to your good teams losing to bad teams on the reg. I mean, this particular Wizards team has beaten some pretty solid teams. So,
what are they overall, 20 and 33, something like that?
Yeah, but they just have some random, they've got random bad losses too.
So if I'm the Wizards, if I'm running that team, I'm going, okay, I mean, you and I have talked about how difficult it is to get out of that sort of mess that they're in right now. But when you see that kind of capability, don't you, maybe that provides some hope for them to say, hey, you know, if we add this player, maybe that transition can be made. I mean, the Jets just couldn't keep up with him last night for all the reasons that we've been talking about. But the defense, Jake, the defense.
Yeah, that was
what are you going to do about that?
They've beat, the Wizards, by the way, I'm just looking at this, Gordon, they've beat Denver twice. Uh-huh. Listen to this run of five wins in a row. Boston, Houston, Denver, Portland, Lakers.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
this,
Houston's not that impressive. But
No. But those other games were good wins. I mean, they've randomly beat some pretty good teams this year. Not making excuses for the Jazz per se, but more, you know, kind of what you're getting into right there, kind of questioning the Wizards and why they're not better.
So if we apply what we learned from watching that game last night as far as it concerns the Jazz moving forward, and by moving forward, I especially mean in the postseason. What do they need to shore up? I mean, it's fairly basic. The defense has to be better. But before we get the defense, they have to be healthy. The Jazz have to be healthy because I don't think they can abide the loss of two key players. What team can? There might be one out there somewhere, but they have to be healthy. Therefore, the move tonight to have some guys not play, I can understand that because they've got to preserve their health. They're trying to preserve that number one seed in the West, but those two things might be in conflict with each other. Yep. We'll see how it turns out. And then secondly, the defense. That perimeter defense has to be shored up, and that defense all the way around needs to be there. Maybe some of that first point is connected to the second point, but those are two things that I do think are connected. I heard earlier on somebody's show, I should give credit, but who was it who was talking to Andy Bailey today? Was that, I think it was Hanson Scotty, wasn't it?
Not sure.
Anyway, he brought up a stat, I think he tweeted out, that when Donovan Mitchell shoots the ball more than like 30 times a game or something, the Jazz have a far worse record than they do when he shoots it less than that. But I don't think that's necessarily a reflection on Donovan Mitchell as much as it is he doesn't have to shoot it as much when the other guys are connecting with their shots. And last night there just was not enough help in that regard. Bogdanovich shot the ball pretty well. Man, he would have tied it if he hit that one three-pointer at the end, wouldn't he?
Here's the thing.
But he missed it.
So. I don't think Donovan's game is as simple as shot attempts. I see what Andy's getting at there. And, for example, I think the first Wizards loss when he had over 40 points, that game I thought he was a little bit more on the selfish side. But this game where he had 30 shots, I didn't come away from that game feeling that way at all. So I think Donovan's, to your point, and I'm agreeing with you here, I think Donovan will do what his team, well, I think we can be confident that he'll play the way that is best for his team on a given night. And last night it was apparent that he and Bogdanovich were going to have to carry him home, and it ended up having, you know, turning into 30 shots. I didn't think a lot of them were bad shots, you know. They didn't come way outside the offense, those sorts of things. I didn't come away thinking that was a bit of a selfish performance. You know, I think it's oversimplified. Sorry, Gordon, real quick. I think it was oversimplified just to look at his shot attempts. Maybe I'd have to go back and review the game, but not really the come to memory with you.
I got a little inkling of that here and there, but he was busy trying to save his team, and yeah, the 1-for-12 stretch in the middle didn't really help, but. You know, he started so strong and then he finished strong. But his team was desperate last night. And it's weird to say against, the 13th place team in the East? But that's the way it was. I do buy into the whole thing that the Jazz, and this is a strength and a weakness. A bunch of guys have to play well for that team to achieve its goals. I don't think they can get by with just Evan Donovan going off for a bunch of points. Although I think it's fun to watch.
But they're not elite with a one-man show. You know, what makes the Jazz elite is the way that they play.
So then do you trust the other guys to play that way when the pressure is on? Certainly they've done it for the lion's share of the regular season, but do you trust them to do it when they need to? Because if they don't, Jake, then we may see more games like last night.
I don't think we will. That's my opinion. As long as everybody comes back and healthy. I mean, losing two of their key guys, including an all-star.
Pretty important.
That's pretty brutal. Yeah. All right, what makes this game tonight interesting? What is storyline numero uno? Not looking for a huge list, just one reason why you will be dialed in tonight to the Jazz and the Thunder.
Well, I would have an answer that I'm not sure is the correct answer now, but before I answer that, tell me which Jazz players are missing this game tonight.
Royce O'Neal, due to rest, Joe Ingles with knee soreness, and then Jordan Clarkson is doubtful with sprained ankle.
Okay. So I would ordinarily say it'll be fun to see what it'll look like when they go deeper into the bench, but I think I kind of got that answer last night, didn't I?
Yeah, so somewhat. I mean, players can play better, you know. I mean, it's not like just a one-off thing. Like Trent Forrest gets 10 minutes, and it's like, that's it. I don't know if the ABA still exists, but you're going to be playing there next week.
Convergys is hiring.
Yeah.
We're judging too harshly, too quickly. Is that what you're saying?
Not we, but yeah.
I am, because I was not impressed last night by what I saw.
Can't we just close the book on all those guys? But pull a Gene Hackman next time and just play with four. And my team's on the floor.
Oh, boy.
Don't bother, Trent. Don't bother. Right there. We're going to play four.
Okay, so that would have been my answer, but now that you've ridiculed the fact that I don't want that to be my answer now.
I'm sorry. I'll be serious here for a moment. Seeing those players and what they're capable of, I do think is interesting. I mean, you know, if for nothing else than for future purposes, right? You only get a certain amount of bites at the apple when it comes to opportunities when you're trying to play your way onto an NBA roster. What can you go do with that? And if, heaven forbid, knocking on wood here, you know, they were short a player or two when it really mattered, you know what these players are capable of. So all jokes aside, I don't think that's a bad answer.
Okay. And then I'm always curious to see how many points Donovan Mitchell can score. And I know that might not be the best path for the Jazz to win, but if the rest of the team struggles the way most of it struggled last night, then I think it would be fun to see Donovan Mitchell go for 60.
All right, so you led right into the one thing that really interests me, and this will not be a popular opinion, but as you know, I pick players that I kind of like and follow around the NBA, and one of those players, and the reason why Donovan Mitchell will not score 60 points tonight, is Lou Dort.
Yeah.
Comes out of Arizona State, goes undrafted, plays his way into a key role last year on a playoff team by doing all of the dirty work, and has a better offensive game than people thought. I'm not calling it good, mind you, but it's not bad either. And the dude is just a 100% player all the time, which I always respect. And he's going to go out there and guard the toughest assignment on the other team, which tonight will be Donovan Mitchell, and I bet he makes Donovan work for it. And Donovan is, I think, fatigued himself. So I think that, absolutely, I'm certainly not blaming the guy. But I think he might be in for a tough night. I really think that.
Do you remember what the result was? I know the Jazz won, but how did that matchup go in their first meeting? When was that? All the way back in December? Have they played since then?
Well, Gordon, give me a second. I'll bring up the entire schedule.
I just thought, I remember a game where I was really impressed with Dort. Let's see. I'll check it myself because you may not know this, but I Google.
I've
always Googled. Dort was, let's see. He had 26 points.
Oh, yeah. So he had a great night.
I don't know how he did defensively. Let's see how Donovan did in that game. Because, you know, I Google. He had 20 points?
20 points on 8 of 23 shooting and 2 of 10 from 3. So that was not an easy night.
So your prediction is on point, I think.
Anyway, I like players like that in the league. You know, I think general managers are constantly on the lookout for players just like Lou Dort. And maybe they don't get the max contracts because they don't have the glam stats, you know. But he's going to play a really important role someday on a really good team.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. He's the kind of player that you love, Jake.
Yeah.
A guy who plays his heart out at both ends, and as you suggested. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, so the over-under on Donovan scoring tonight, is it fewer than 25?
I don't know, because they're shorthanded, so he's going to take a lot of shots again tonight. In theory, right? Because they're not going to have Royce obviously doesn't take a ton of shots, but Joe takes a fair amount, and Jordan Clarkson takes a fair amount. So Mike Conley comes back, and Mike can help with that load, and we'll see if Bogdanovich can keep up his pace, because he played really well last night. But I think Donovan's going to have to take plenty of shots. So I don't know if I'd bet the under on 25. But
my memory is a little blurred on that. I don't remember all the specifics of that game. I do remember that Dort played well, and the Jazz won by 1 point, Jake. So that was a real battle. Whew. I don't know what that portends for tonight's game with the weaponry the Jazz are without.
Well, I think the future of Oklahoma City is really fascinating from a franchise standpoint, because the amount of assets that they have stockpiled is a remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable. I mean, starting with convincing Paul George to re-sign in Oklahoma City, I mean, that was the best move Sam Presti's ever made, and that's the guy who drafted Kevin Durant, because they got just a haul from that and then a big-time haul from unloading all their other players. And so now they're really poised. They've got a couple of building blocks in Gilgeous Alexander and, in my opinion, Lou Dort, but particularly Gilgeous Alexander, that you can build around that dude, and with the type of assets. And, you know, they're never going to make all those draft picks, so they're just going to flip those for players that can come in and help them win. I am fascinated to see what happens with the Thunder going forward.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it looks bright for them as they build, as they continue to build, and they have that opportunity, as you suggested, to do so.
Just maybe not tonight.
You think the Jazz are just wiped out?
Yeah, I do. But I think they'll still win. I mean, if you've looked at the lineup that Oklahoma City's bringing to the table, I mean,
who are they missing? Are they missing anyone?
Gilgeous Alexander, which is one of the only consequential players left on the team. I mean, let's see. Moses Brown should be their starting center tonight, Gordon. Darius Baisley should also get the start. Theo Maledon, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly, but he's likely starting tonight. So,
Maledon?
Maledon, thank you.
Well, then that underscores your point even more about Dort. He's their key guy tonight, for sure.
Well, and he is not a shooter, so it might be a long one for the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Maledon was the 34th pick in the draft. How about that? All right, more next, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.